Welcome back to Super Tuesday Recap. This is your host, Chris and Deepom here, and we are here to review Episode 4, Season 7 of Arrow, Level 2. Oliver and Felicity each make drastic moves to find Diaz. The new Green Arrow swoops in when the arsonist targets Renee's community center. Dinah faces pressure from the mayor to capture the vigilante. Those are, again, terrible synopsis here. We're going to jump right into this. We don't have to worry about doing a Deepom rant about how bad Titans is. I think we've got that out of our system. I think we're good.
I'll be back. I intend to watch the entire season. I'm going to give him out in 4 episode bursts. That was 4, right? The first one?
That was 4. Good for you. Right. You're a stronger man than me. I'm out.
No, that's not strength. It's weakness. It's I have this horrible completist gene that won't allow me to walk away from a show, particularly midstream. This is the example I used. I watched all of Dexter.
Okay.
And Susan and I started dating while Dexter was still on. She said, "Should I? Oh, you watch Dexter? Should I watch it with you?" I said, "Absolutely not. I'm only here because I have to. I wouldn't drag you." And she laughed, and I didn't smile. And she realized how serious I was. And that's how I feel about Titans. Like if someone's like, "Oh, I'll watch with you," like, don't do that. Don't get in. I'm here.
Deepom's watching, so you guys don't have to, guys. So we'll be going to Deepom for our weekly update of what the fuck just happened.
Once a month, you're going to get a good Titan turn out of me, because let me be honest, the one I watched this week was not good. Spoilers. Quite good.
Anyway, so we're here with Arrow, and like I said, it's so funny that Oliver has become almost secondary to his own show, and watching everything that's going on, and then when we do the flash forwards, it's like it's really bringing everything together. And I gotta say, I really think that I'm still trying to put my finger on what time period this is, the future time period it is, because we've had so many flashes of the future. Like some of them, you know, we know don't really happen, but we know that this is very, very much related to something we've already seen. And when you start dealing with the fact that, you know, Flash and Legend of Tomorrow both have dealt with this kind of future, this feels like the first season for all these shows, the first year that all these shows really, really feel like they're connected to a larger thing. Now, this could be us going into what this Elseworld crossover is, which I think could be it. But like, I'm really, really, it's become a really, really compelling story. I mean, the stuff with Oliver and the psychiatrist, that's also interesting and kind of damning in its own way. But seeing how all this other stuff relates to what we deal with Roy, William, Dinah, and I knew that was going to be Zoe. And Zoe in the future is kind of like, holy shit, you guys got me. I'm really intrigued to how this goes.
Okay, so I made myself a little couple note cards here. I did some show prep. I'm sorry. The Arrow future is stated as being 2038. So we know that it's approximately 20 years in the future. And we know that whatever's happened, the Glades, once the most impoverished section of Star City, has now become a walled-off anti-vigilante utopia. Mm-hmm. We know Dinah Drake leaves being captain and becomes Black Canary again. We know Renee's wouldn't set foot in the city, which is interesting.
Because that's the city. And just real quick, you said what was the year?
I believe it's 2038.
2038. The episode of Legend of Tomorrow we saw that had a lot of this stuff in there. Because one thing I noticed when William and Roy come into the city, there's a Deathstroke graffiti behind them. And we know Deathstroke was in there. Go ahead.
I think that the one we're talking about, the one with John Jr. as the Arrow, I think that's been negated at this point.
That's 2046. So, but I'm saying it might be, because even though things were negated, you know that sometimes, you know, little things change. Clear. Right. Still, things still happen. So, but that was 2046. Okay. So it could still be like that's an 8-year difference. So, but anyway, go ahead.
When I did my prep, I did, there are 3 main futures that we know occur based on this season of the shows.
Right.
2038 Star City, 2042 Seattle, which is where they got Zarya from.
True, yes. That's 2042. Okay.
And they mentioned that metahumans were outlawed in 2021.
Hmm.
and that all religion was outlawed, and that's why Zari was held for being a Muslim and a freedom fighter.
Mm-hmm.
We know 2049 is where XS is from.
2049?
Yes. Nora is from 2049. We know that Barry Allen disappears in 2024. And we know the year she's from because the newspaper where she's from is the 25th anniversary of how the flashes of when the flashes appeared. Mm-hmm. And that the museum was made in 2032.
Got you.
So what's interesting to me is that you've got either Nora's timeline being after the despotic times of what we saw in Legends and in Arrow, or something changes it. Because right. a country that would house a Flash museum would not similarly outlaw metahuman.
Exactly.
I think that's where the Elseworlds, the multiple futures, the 52 Earths, this is where it's going to get really interesting because we know who the big bad is for this crossover.
Right. Right.
Sorry, I thought way too much about this this week.
No, I mean, but
because I think that this Arrow flash forward got super interesting super fast.
No, and that's what I'm saying. It's like we're gonna get to all the stuff in this and the present day with this episode, but the flash forward stuff with Arrow is the thing that to me is interesting because it's really setting the stage for what's happening in the more fantastical shows. Like Arrow is a really grounded show, and by showing us now flash forwards and showing a glimpse of this future, we're now like on some holy shit, what's really going on here? Because there's the thing too. I mean, this thing I noticed. Because I don't think she used it in the future. I'm pretty sure Dinah had her canary cry removed because
sort of been cut.
Right. Well, not only just that, but she kept like you know, is that thing that you do like Phantom Limb or something? Like she kept like touching it around that area too. So it's like, this has become really fascinating because it now brings everything we've seen from the other fantastical shows, particularly with time travel, really coming in and affecting and showing us how that affects Arrow, you know? And the thing that really also really stands out to me is the idea that even the futures that we've seen that might not happen, they might give us hints of what could happen. And what I mean by that is when they said that Felicity was killed, I was reminded of that future that Damian Darhk had created in that, what was it, season two of Legends? Season two of Legends, where he, season two of Legends, where he had created that future where he was hunting down Vigilante, and he killed Felicity. Felicity was one of the Vigilantes he had killed. So then it becomes like, well, that future didn't happen. Could that have been what Felicity had done? Like, so I don't know, but I feel like, even with the timelines that we don't see, we still see, it's kind of it bringing it to the present day conversation in this episode when Laurel was having a conversation with Felicity and was kind of telling her about how, hey, yeah, you remind me of the Felicity on my Earth right now, and when she was kind of ruthless. She has her own empire. And you're like, the other Earths and other futures, really what they are they're just different choices people make.
Right.
So if something happens that caused Felicity to make the same choices that other Felicity does, you can see her going down the same path, even though the way they got there is differently. So, even with the futures that we've seen that get erased, there still could be something to them. So, like you said, it's very, very intriguing and very, very interesting.
It created something here that's it's an organic mystery because we've seen these flashes in the future, and so people say, oh, spoilers, we know how it is. Well, the interesting part, and I think it's kind of a larger speaking to kind of how we consume media in today's day and age, how we get to that point is the important part, is the interesting part. Season finales are cool, but I'd like to hear a story across the season. And I think that they've done a really good job here in creating a sense of mystery, a sense of urgency, a sense of wonder about what's next for these characters, because we've seen what's been, and what's interesting is also we've been told that certain things are immutable. Like Constantine couldn't not create let himself be created, and Zari couldn't save her mother.
Right.
Like there are certain things that can't be changed unless something big gets broken. And I think that's where our crossover is going to step in.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, it's I'm very intrigued by, again, to me, the whole flash forward thing is so intriguing, and how that and how it all ties together, because now we have each show kind of given us glimpses of what that future can be. So, getting into the current timeline of this stuff, let's just do with Oliver stuff first, because it's actually kind of, it actually wasn't the biggest piece of this episode. Like, it's, again, it's very intriguing that, you know, Stephen Amell's show, but he gets probably getting the least amount of screen time so far.
Yeah.
But like, fuck the psychiatrist, yo. Like, fuck him. Like,
okay, so I know, but psychiatrist, before we get to, how much screen time do you think Stephen Amell's getting?
I don't know.
If you tell me that Ollie can break out of the slab and break back in and be the Arrow. This is the first episode I entertained that.
Right.
Maybe, just maybe, Ollie's breaking out.
Is he? How can he, though?
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, one thing I noticed from the psychiatrist with everything Ollie's being put through, he seemed worse.
No, I literally have in my notes, Oliver's been in worse prisons. And I'm like, you can't torture him enough to break him. They literally had to drug him. Yeah, like, they had to drug him to get him. They were like, okay. Even when they drugged him, it's like, that not working. We got to put him in a machine now. It's like, and even the end, even though he says, I'm inmate for, you know, what was it, 4587. He's like, that's still, I'm like, is that really broken though? Like, I don't think that's broken, Oliver. Like, so I don't know. And I'm just like, yeah, this is, you're not, you've dealt with a lot of other people. You've never dealt with Oliver Queen. Like,
you don't know his whole story, because you would not be trying this man.
Right. He had 5 years of hell. So it's like, I mean, there's 5 years of hell on a thing. You think you're going to break Oliver Queen in a couple days?
Like, you thought.
You know, like when the psychiatrist comes in, it's like, you were meditating. It's not really bothering you. I'm like, it's bothering me. The sound is bothering me. It's in the TV.
It's like, when Ollie kills him, Ollie says, good morning, says, you found a way to check.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, like, this is the Arrow, bitch. Like, you don't seem to know what you've done to yourself. You're not, he's here with you. You're trapped in here with him.
Yo, I'm not gonna lie. That was one of the jokes. I would have been like, our job here is done. I'm not touching this dude. No, he's in the hole. He's in a deep dark hole at the bottom of this fucking prison. We are flooding him with lights and sound, and he somehow knows it's morning. No, not doing this. Fuck this.
Because
here's the thing. You know, and let's go with the non-cynical idea that this psychiatrist is really trying to help Oliver. Because there were some things he was saying that was like, not necessarily wrong. You're like, you know, your father did pretty much in his dying breath give you a burden to right his wrongs instead of telling you to go out there and live your life and be you. He basically gave you the burden of cleaning up his past. Which is kind of a shitty thing to do for a father, but Robert Quinn was also a shitty person anyway, so there's that.
I'm gonna let you party, and you're right, if maybe the psychiatrist is helping him, but this nigga was like a black Hugo Strange. Oh, and
so you didn't let me finish. I was gonna say, there were several times I'm like, you do realize if you go the wrong way, Oliver's going to murder everyone in this room.
Hugo Strange, like, I it might be him out there in the Arrow suit.
Right. Hey.
Yeah, plus he.
Hey.
It's a lot less funny when you say it like that.
No, it was so funny because I was like, yeah, you do. I understand what you're trying to do. You're trying to help this man. But like, what if you like, you know, remove all the barriers and you find out that he really just like that the memory of his father and doing this stuff is the only thing that kept him from going insane? Because remember, 5 years on an island. I think that's going to be the thing that you realize. It's like, you can sit there and say, because, and this is something I was thinking myself, it's like, you can sit there and say that Oliver's doing all this stuff because, you know, his father put the burden on him, and I get that, right? But
that's how it started.
But and that's what I'm about to say. It's like, that's how it started, but that's not why Oliver's still doing it. And so, and I think that's going to be the thing, and I think it's part of the reason why this psychiatrist is having such a hard time breaking through with Oliver, because he only knows part of the story. You see a man who, again, had that list and was tracking down his father's sins, but like, Oliver stopped doing that. Like, it became far beyond that. Like, that was him being, remember, he had the different phases. It was the hood, it was a vigilante, it was the Arrow, and then it's the Green Arrow. That Green Arrow is something completely different. It's a completely different persona, personality, and mindset for Oliver Queen than anything he was. So yeah, you can sit there and attack him and sit there and say, you're a murderer, you're putting this burden on your son. And again, they're just opposing that with seeing William in the future, you know, doing all this stuff, coming back.
That's a lot of weight to it, to what that guy was just saying.
Absolutely. The way they shot that and the way they did that, it's like you kind of get on the side of, hey, you know what? He's not wrong, you know? He's not wrong. But I think the key difference here is Oliver's not his father, first of all. And he's done everything in his power to not put that burden on William. Like,
but,
everything.
But the thing is, you know, I talked about this last season, or maybe the season before that. Saying that all this came from a poisonous tree isn't wrong.
Absolutely, yes.
Saying that the very beginnings, the core ideals of this are from a very crazy, like almost psychopathic place, not wrong.
No, absolutely. No. Yeah.
I think that's what gives the psychiatrist a lot of power over Ollie in stories, because you're right. He's evolved past that. But if you take the beginnings of it all, because you had to even go back to the raft.
Mm-hmm.
This is very interesting, because we're having right now in season 7, Ollie reconciled with something we saw in the pilot.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, this is why it's interesting to me, because now it seems, feels like circles within circles, not to step on the show we're going to record later. But it's really interesting to me, because to watch him understand the decision his father made and why his father was wrong in making it, it's the closest you're going to get to Ollie questioning it all.
Well, you know the thing that got me, because I thought the same thing, and the psychiatrist brought it up. I was like, wait, they're reading my fucking mind. This guy's good. Right. And again, this is not saying that I trust this dude. I'm just pointing out, right? I'm just like, yeah, okay. When you brought up the fact that it's like, Oliver, you talk about you jump right to your father killing himself and putting the burden on you, but there was another man on the raft. Your father murdered somebody else. Your father murdered somebody else, and you can't sit there and make it seem like this story is only about people that have the last name Queen. There are other people involved. What about that man's son? What about what happened with him? It's like, your father made the possible choice. You can say that, but you can't. You don't get to erase that other man from the story. Your
because
father,
it's not going to be for y'all's story.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, like you said, it's like, listen, fuck the psychiatrist. But he makes some points, right? It's just like, yeah. One of those. It's like, he's making some points. And I think that this is another step in the making Oliver the hero we want him to be, because Oliver's never really reconciled this aspect of it. And I feel like every season is Oliver having to reconcile some aspect of his past and how he's gotten here, but he's never really had to do it this way, where he has to take responsibility. Well, he has to understand that, not just taking responsibility, almost that he took too much responsibility. He took on his father's responsibility. And you know what? Actually, beyond that, right? Because again, this psychiatrist, I feel like this psychiatrist, you know what it is? This psychiatrist hit some good points, but because he doesn't know the whole story, he's not getting everything that he could hit on. Oliver didn't just take the responsibility of his father. When he comes back and finds out his mother is also just as knee deep in this mess as his father was, he takes on the responsibility of both his parents. And writing their both of their wrongs. And so, you know, yeah, it's like he's, but I also think that's what makes Oliver, that's the good part of Oliver as well, that I think that's like how it's insane, is that he feels deeply responsible for what has been done in his family's name. And while if you only look at part of the story, it comes off as just bad and selfish and, oh, look at the burden you're putting yourself, your family into. But when you look at the fact that Oliver is not his father with the way he treats William and what he does, and actively tries to keep William out of that while also being honest with him, right? We've gotten to now where he is now honest and open and honest with William about what he is and what he does. Something that his father, like that Robert Queen never did with Oliver, right? He dumped all this on Oliver, then killed himself, leaving Oliver with this bag and this burden and no guidance. Oliver hasn't done that to Will. And I think that's the key thing that makes us, that allows me to go and say, fuck the psychiatrist. We're also saying that he's making good points, you know? So, but yeah, I was like, oh damn, they're getting kind of heavy with this. It's like, we're doing an Oliver Queen therapy session and it's good. But, right.
But the only way they're able to pull it off is because they're able to mine the time they put in.
Right.
Like the seasons that people say, oh, that was so, or it's not where it was, or guess what? It all mattered. It all counted. It's some of the things that we talked about with enjoying about things about Marvel's continuity in comic books. Everything mattered. Everything happened.
Absolutely.
Ollie watched his dad murder a man and then kill himself. That's how this entire story starts, aside from him seeking off with his girlfriend and sister onto a boat and having a ship. That also is how it starts. But we're not focused on that part right now.
I mean, who among us hasn't, right?
I mean, hey, look, there for the grace of big boats go on.
Right. So. and then the interesting thing we have, and then we get Felicity this episode, where Felicity literally going to the dark side, and she has two people that talk to her, that kind of tell her, it's like, you don't want to go down this route. First one was Renee, where Renee brings up, you know, here's the thing. Why are they making me like Renee?
They're trying awfully hard.
They're trying to pull a Ralph, and it's kind of getting to me, man. I know he's a snitch. I'm never going to say he's not a snitch. I'm starting to like Renee, man. I'm starting to like this man. Like, he's...
I get it. No, I get it. I don't agree, but I get it.
He's saying all the right things, man. It's like, I'm waiting for him. Like, when... For the wrong reason.
He's... Everything's coming from the tree of... Okay, I see.
I love that Felicity, when he was like, Felicity, man, you know, I got bounced out of the Navy because, you know, I tortured somebody, you know, and I live with that. And then Tobias Church tortured me. I love that Felicity hit him back with the, like, yeah, and it worked. You ratted out Oliver's identity. And I'm like, oh, that was a low blow, but not wrong. So it's like, cause I'm like, I had forgotten that he had snitched out, you know, Oliver to Tobias Church. And I'm like, son of a bitch, you are a snitch. That is two times. You have snitched out Oliver twice now. Huh, this is not right. But also Felicity going, well, it did work. You know, you got tortured for 20 hours and it worked. You snitched out Oliver. So let's torture this woman. But then there's her conversation with Laurel. And, like, you know... I love that when they first start off and Laurel tries to touch her and try to have that heart to heart, Felicity's face is like, bitch, don't touch me. Like, what are you doing? Like, no. But then when they really break it down, when she explains, it's like, no, the Quentin, the Oliver, you know, and Quentin in my life, they died too, you know? And so I understand what you're going through, and they bonded over that. And she's like, you know, you look at me and you see the murderer, you see the criminal that I am. It's like, that's why I gave into the darkness I felt when those close to me died. You do not want to go down that route. You'll turn into me. You'll turn into Felicity, you know, what you bring to the Felicity of her or later on. But it's like, you don't want to do that. It's like, use your brain. It's like, even though I like this Felicity, this new Felicity, I'm kind of feeling her. Like, I didn't like the old Felicity. This new one, I can kind of rock with. I'm like, because you're evil still. You're still evil as shit. Yeah, and then she tells her, it's like, yo, use your brain. And she does. She decides that my best way of not torturing the silencer, but tricking her into taking us to where Diaz is. And I like that bonding there, because you get so much from both characters. You're seeing a Felicity who at this point is at her wit's end, and she's trying to protect her family. You know, she's done sitting in the silence. She's done not fighting. But then you have someone who has gone down that route in Laurel, and you're seeing that, you know, because here's the thing. With this Laurel, Earth 2 Laurel taking over as Laurel, you're kind of sitting there going, but you're not our Laurel. Like, you don't fit in. But then you see her, you know, trying to study law so she can actually, you know what she's talking about as DA. You're seeing, right, it's like, because, you know, again, it's a small, like, but this goes back to what I've been saying about this season across the board with CW, is they're starting to fill in the little gaps, I think, that they have gotten away from. The small throwaway scenes and throwaway lines that actually do matter. It's like, wait, right, how is Earth 2 Laurel going to be a DA when she's not, she never went to law school. Our Laurel did. She knew the law, This one doesn't. How is she pulling it off? Is she in her office? She's studying law. It's like, oh, that's how. She's actually, oh. Don't need a lot on it. Don't need to make a big deal out of it. But you can show it to us and be like, that answers that question here. But again, it's still hard to trust this Laurel because we've seen everything she's gone through. But when you see that her main motivation is to, her main motivation was to, live up to, her father, Quentin. Like she never had, she lost her father before, and now she's lost this one, and this one was the father she always wanted. And you see that everything she's doing is basically to live up to what he wanted her to be and what he believed she could be. And so, telling us that is one thing, but then seeing it and then seeing her make this choice with Felicity, and when she thought Felicity was going to torture silence her with that screwdriver, she called her away. She was like, no, you're not going to do this. I'm not going to let you go down this path. And you're seeing that it's like, oh, it's not just talk. She really means this, because this is one of those things where nobody's looking. If she let Felicity do this, there's no skin off her back, right? Nobody says anything. Last season when she did good things, you can always think in your back of the mind going, she's trying to get something out of this. She wants something. She's doing this to benefit herself. The way she helps Felicity this episode has no benefit to her. So,
trust her, like I see what you're saying. I really don't like this evil Laurel. I'm holding a lot of grudges.
Oh no, but
you're probably right. This is probably a character turn. I probably need to grow the fuck up. Pepper's farming numbers.
No, but that's the thing. I think with both Laurel this season and Renee, I even go further because we'll get into the Dinah in a minute. I think for all of them, this got to be their redemption arc.
This is the battle.
It has to be. And so the us going, we don't trust you, I think is the natural progression and the national reason. So seeing Renee be so gung-ho about protecting this vigilante and doing this stuff means something, because we're like, yo, dude, you sent out on Oliver. All this stuff is your fault. With Laurel, it would feel weird. It wouldn't have her scenes wouldn't have weight if we didn't feel like every season, she betrayed them at least 2-3 times towards the end of that season, right? And even here, when you think about it, her coming, showing up as Laurel is another betrayal. It's a slap in the face to everybody on Team Arrow's face, because you're like, you're not our Laurel. Just like you're feeling right now. It's like, you're not our Laurel. How dare you be here? How dare you do this? And so having this one moment when she goes and she, actually does something that seems like really genuine. Like even Felicity was on some, I don't trust you. I still don't trust you. Oh wait, that did work though. Should I trust you now? Cause that way, if she does somehow come back and betray us, it's gonna hurt. Or you're gonna be like, see, I know I never trust that bitch. I don't know. I feel like it gets you engaged in the character. Whereas if they didn't have any of that stuff, you wouldn't care. Like if she never did any of that stuff, if she was just if it felt like she was the regular Laurel from last season that you just could not trust, there's no growth for the character, so why do we care?
Right.
Here, like I'm kind of invested in her, Dinah, and Renee, where I want to say fuck all of them. And it's like, you're making me like even I literally have in my notes right now, Dinah's the worst. Fuck Dinah. Oh, she's over here.
Dinah terrors me, man, because she's wrong. Like we both know she's wrong, but from her viewpoint and from her experiences, I can't say she's wrong.
But that's what I'm talking about, though. So I'm like, fuck Dinah, fuck this is bullshit. Then she arrested Renee. I was like, definitely fuck Dinah. Get the fuck out of here with this shit.
You arrested Renee. I was like, well.
I know you were like, well,
That was a very what's your both sides.
That's okay. Technically he is wrong. But when she had that conversation, when she was having the conversation with Diggle, and she basically said why she's going down this route, why she has to, she's trying to find another way, you're like, fuck. I get it though. One, she lost Vince twice. She's had to go through all this other stuff. She's trying to She's trying to show that you can do it the right way and work within the system. I mean, even the fact that she shows up at that town hall meeting to kind of answer the questions of, you know, the people. It's like you see Dinah, she really believes she believes it, but she's like, you're like, I think she actually really needs this as well. But then again, you know, but then she's willing to, when Diggle kind of told her, it's like, listen, you know, Quinn Lance used to have your job. Same thing by the books. But he also knew to work with people when they needed it. So it's like, you know, I think that is the thing that was, I think that's the thing that kind of really connected it for me. It's like, she's right. Quinn did the same thing. Quinn was like anti-vigilante, but then realized that, you know, sometimes you need that help. Sometimes you need to work with people. Doesn't matter where you get that help from, if it's for the greater good. And you're seeing,
it took him a long time to realize that too.
Right.
I'm having to give Dinah, you know, a little leeway here too, not just because she fulfilled one of my agendas by arresting that snitch, but also because, like, the world doesn't trust, like, the city doesn't trust the cops.
Right.
Like the stuff that we talk about Richard Dragon doing, Ricardo Diaz, I'm like, sorry, I'm a comic book nerd. Like, he's
Dragon.
I'm sorry, guys. The things that we saw him doing, yes, it was extremely personal for Oliver, extremely harmful for his family, but more than anything, he took over a city. Like, he ran the city. And before that, and I think this has been a really good job of this season expanding on things that have come before, the entire thing starts because Felicity breaks old buddy out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
She started her heel turn. Because while this entire season, you're right, is about everyone else finding their way to the light, we're watching Felicity slip further and further away.
Yeah. Which she's been doing for a while now.
But you and I think you and I agreed that when it happened to end that one season, the setup with Kate and James the next season, it fell a little flat.
Mm-hmm.
Because the organization was so near and out of nowhere, it felt like it was very tertiary connected to the rest of the narrative. Because of who's involved now, her heel turn, her move towards darkness, her arrowification, if you will, is much more pronounced because it's so central and integral to everything that's going on.
Absolutely. You know, and like I said, it like all of this stuff matters and all this stuff works. And I'm really enjoying how they're, like you said, they're bringing everything together, everything that's happened before that, even this, like you said, even the stuff that fell flat, you know, but like I said, we've been seeing, if we're going to be dead honest here, Felicity hasn't been the same since she had to pick that city to put that bomb in.
Real. Like, that's, yes. So, you know, she created Ragman, who we've all forgotten.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. Between her and Evelyn, who I guess died off screen on the.
No. Didn't he kill Evelyn?
I thought she died on the whatchamacallit.
The island. Yeah, you're right, when they moved down.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I don't know. It's like I said, all this stuff, it feels you feel it, and you see how everybody's kind of dealing with it in their own way. It's like everybody's trying to find their own way. But we know that eventually it's going to come back to, they need the help. And this leads me to back to the other thing too. So I'm still trying to figure out who the vigilante is, who the new Green Arrow is. Part of me is like, could it possibly be, because we're seeing these flash forwards and we're seeing all this, could this Green Arrow be somebody from that future who's now come back to try to make it so that the vigilante laws don't go into effect? Because we know that something the thing that's all tied to all these things, that, you know, you at the beginning of the show, you went through all the different times, we know the thing that's tied to all those is basically metas and vigilantes are outlawed. You know, goes to the thing with Nora, like Nora, they had to put a chip in Nora, you know, to dampen her powers, right? You know, so is what this, because The thing I noticed with this vigilante is he knows certain things. Like, the second time he saved either Renee or somebody close to Renee, he saved Zoe. How would he know to go, if that building's going on fire, how would he know that Zoe was in that place right there at that time?
Right.
You know? He knew, like, it just seems to be so much of a coincidence that he shows up at certain places, you know.
Which,
to,
Great point by Dinah. It's like, yo, she's not wrong.
Yeah.
Something a little, you gotta ask more questions.
You know, absolutely. Absolutely. How does this vigilante know? And then what is the point of that? Because again, that vigilante is, because one of the things that popped up in that town hall meeting was, you know, again, we in this future, it was two opposing, they gave us two opposing views in this episode. One is the future where you hear that Glade has basically walled itself off for the rest of the world and is an anti-vigilante zone, right? Vigilantes are not welcome there. But in that town hall, you have people basically saying, vigilantes helped us. You know, that Green Arrow showed up and helped us when we had this issue. That took the, you know, took the police, called the police. The police didn't show up. You know who did show up? That Green Arrow. So you have a group of people here who are basically like, they're pro-vigilante because they know what the vigilantes do in their neighborhood. And the vigilantes are the ones from the neighborhood that help them. So now I got to ask, what changed in that future to make it so that same place is now so anti-vigilant?
Well, we've seen the beginnings of it because the arsonist was burning a building and having it barred up by a single wire.
Yep.
And so whatever's happening, if this arrow is a red herring that they're going to turn against the populace and then make them afraid, like once you own everything and you start owning the news, you can start controlling how people see things. And the Green Arrow, who's now a hero, can go to a villain overnight, as we've seen repeatedly in this fucking city.
Yes, absolutely. So, all interesting stuff, and I'm really intrigued to see how that works and what goes on with that. And it also makes you like, yeah, I'm really intrigued to see what goes on here and how this is. So, you got anything else about? Oh, and gotta throw up Bebo, of course.
All hell, baby.
Yeah, gotta have that. You know. I was like, do not hate on Bebo. Yeah, you tell him, Curtis. Like, nobody hates on Bebo. Bebo has got...
No one hates on Bebo, or they will feel the thunder, apparently.
Right, absolutely. So, anything else on this?
No, I just think... this is... When they said they were going to replace the flashbacks with flash forwards, I'll admit I was wary. Particularly, I think the last few seasons of flashbacks felt a little on the nose in how they tied them in. A story, be it magic or whatnot. This integration of flash forwards is how the Flash should use them in the Savitar season.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's tougher because there's actual time travel there, and there might be time travel here if you read enough theories online. Mm-hmm. To where they're trying to directly affect it, but I think they've found a really good balance here, and they've engaged the audience to try to solve the mystery. And that's what you want. Like, yes, the A plots, the B plots are very interesting, but how we get from A to B is the question now.
Well,
we're all on the edge of our
seat. Because they show us so many different things. Like, they show you Dinah saying that she's going to do it the right way and be a cop, and then immediately show her, you know, as a vigilante in an apocalyptic, you know, Star City. You have this idea that, you know, some great fallout happened. Beyond the what, you know, there had to be something else bigger that happened between William and Felicity, because the whole thing is like, you know, with Roy saying, you know, it's big of you to with everything that happened. I was like, what happened? Like, there's so much more they're not telling us.
Because my head went to like shipping him off to boarding school as things got really shitty in Star City.
Right, I thought that too, but I'm like, yo, that's a long time ago. That's a long, like, there had to be more to it than that. Like, did you? Because he does that, but then Felicity builds up an entire fucking, like, company?
Yeah.
And never, like, something, I'm like, there had to be more to it than that, right? You know, so, I don't know. Because at that point, it's like, why does, if she builds the, if she, you know, builds smoke technologies and does all this stuff, why would she never bring William back at that point? Because obviously then, you know, Ricardo Diaz is gone then, right? So, I don't know. It's. There's a lot of questions, and I'm pretty, like you said, there's plenty of theories out there. You know, like I said, my theory is there's got to be something involved with them coming back to try to fix this timeline, because we also know that this timeline is broken because of what Barry Allen did.
Yes.
You know, so that also throws off everything too, you know, so there's a lot that happens here.
Also what Nora's done, she's clearly changed timeline too.
That too. So fucking speedsters, man. fucking speedsters. God damn it. All right. Let's see. All the shows are back this week, so just Super Tuesday recap. We'll have Supergirl, Black Lightning, The Flash, and Legend of Tomorrow all coming out this week. Anything major? There will be a Character Corner, hopefully dropping on Wednesday for Ultimate Spider-Man Part 2. And, yeah, folks, just stay tuned. Make sure you subscribe. If you were subscribed before to Super Tuesday Recap and you weren't getting an updated feed, it should be fixed now. The latest episode should be up there. So make sure you subscribe, Super Tuesday Recap. And if you ever had a problem with your feed, just email us at support@mtrnetwork.net. So, again, folks, thank you very much for listening. Until next time, we're out of here. Peace.